You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and we are now into Holy Week, and today's broadcast is all about Good Friday. Let's begin our broadcast, as always, with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, what is Good Friday? And why do we call it Good Friday? Why do we call Good Friday good when it's such a dark and bleak event, commemorating a day of suffering and death for Jesus? Well, for us Christians, Good Friday is a crucial day of the year. It celebrates what we believe to be the most momentous weekend in the history of the world. Ever since Jesus died and was raised, Christians have proclaimed the cross and resurrection of Jesus to be the decisive turning point for all creation. Paul considered it to be of first importance that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day, all in accordance with what God had promised all along in the Scriptures, in 1 Corinthians 15. On Good Friday, we remember the day Jesus willingly suffered and died by crucifixion as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. It's followed by Easter, the glorious celebration of the day Jesus was raised from the dead, heralding his victory over sin and death and pointing ahead to a future resurrection for all who are united to him by faith. So why then do we call the day of Jesus' death Good Friday instead of Bad Friday? Some Christian traditions take this approach in German. For example, the day is called Karfreitag, or Sorrowful Friday. In English, in fact, the origin of the term good is debated. Some believe it's developed from an older name, God's Friday. Regardless of the origin of the name, Good Friday is entirely appropriate because the suffering and death of Jesus, as terrible as it was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people, that's you and me, from their sins. And in order for the good news of the gospel to have meaning for us, my friends, we first have to understand the bad news of our condition as sinful people under condemnation. The good news of deliverance only makes sense once we see how we are enslaved. Another way of saying this is that it is important to understand and distinguish between law and gospel in Scripture. We need the law first to show us how hopeless our condition is. And then the gospel of Jesus' grace comes and brings us relief and salvation. In the same way, Good Friday is good, because as terrible as that day was, it had to happen for us to receive the joy of Easter. The wrath of God against sin had to be poured out on Jesus, the perfect sacrificial substitute, in order for forgiveness and salvation to be poured out to the nations. Without that awful day of suffering, sorrow, and shed blood at the cross, God could not be both just and the justifier of those who trust in Jesus. The day that seemed to be the greatest triumph of evil was actually the death blow in God's gloriously good plan to redeem the world from bondage. The cross is where we see the convergence of great suffering and God's forgiveness. Psalm 85 sings of a day when righteousness and peace will kiss each other. And I'm just quickly trying to look in my Bible, and I may not find it quick enough. Oh, yes, I did. Psalm 85. So I'm just flipping my Bible here, everyone. And prayer for the restoration of God's favor. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Selah. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. The cross of Jesus is where that occurred, where God's demands, his righteousness, coincided with his mercy. We receive divine forgiveness, mercy, and peace because Jesus willingly took our divine punishment, the result of God's righteousness against sin, for the joy set before him, Hebrews 12. Jesus entered the cross on Good Friday, knowing it led to his resurrection, our salvation, and the beginning of God's reign of righteousness and peace. Good Friday marks the day when wrath and mercy met at the cross. That's why Good Friday is so dark and so good. Quite a number of things happened during that night. Jesus had been arrested and taken before the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. It was during this time that Peter denied him. And according to the Gospels, Jesus was taken before Pilate in the morning, sent to Herod, returned to Pilate, was mocked and beaten, saw Barabbas released in his stead, was crowned with thorns, was condemned to death, carried the crushing burden of his cross, told the weeping women what would happen in the future, was crucified between two thieves, forgave those who crucified him, entrusted the Virgin Mary to the beloved disciple, and he assured the good thief of his salvation. He said his famous seven last words, cried out and died. In addition, there was darkness over the land. There was an earthquake. the veil of the temple was torn in two. Many saints of the Old Testament period were raised. A soldier pierced Christ's side, and blood and water flowed out. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. He was buried in Joseph's own tomb. A guard was set over the tomb. All Jesus' friends and family grieved at his death. What does sin do to God? And how is this set right? The most important answer is that sin dishonors God. It detracts from his glory. It belittles him. It treats him as inferior in value to what we prefer in our sinful desire. I think that is what sin is. This is why the most important paragraph on the atonement in the Bible contains the words, "This, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," or literally, "lack the glory of God." In other words, sin is related to glory, and it is related as losing glory, that is, exchanging the glory of God for images. It is an effort to rob God of his glory. The greatest problem in the universe is that God's creatures have gone on record as devaluing his glory. Can Christ repair the glory of God for the people of God? And the answer of the Bible is yes. And the reason is that Christ came precisely to vindicate the glory of God. That is not true of any criminal on the planet who is in prison today. That is why we can't do this kind of thing among men. The reason Christ came is precisely to repair, to vindicate the glory of God. Here is a glimpse of it in John 12. Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again," in John 12. This is the ultimate reason for the death of Jesus. He came to repair the injury we had done to the glory of God. He laid aside his glory. He emptied himself. He endured utter humiliation, not in a random way, but precisely for the glory of the Father. Christ's whole incarnation was a reversal of our attack on the glory of God. Since he is infinitely valuable, his loss of glory in his humiliation and death can cover all of our God-diminishing, God-dishonoring, God-defaming sins. And therefore, complete justice can be done in justifying the ungodly like us. The glory of God is vindicated precisely in respect to the ways we have insulted the glory of God. Christ loses glory in suffering and dying precisely for the ways we have caused God to lose glory in our sins. And so God is shown to be glorious in passing over our sins for the sake of Jesus, who lived and died to restore the glory of his Father. And that is precisely what justice demands. Oh, how I hope God will open our eyes of those who think that the heart of the Bible, the heart of the gospel, the best news in all the world is unjust. It is, in fact, it is the highest expression of justice that ever was, and the greatest act of mercy. What does Good Friday mean to me? It means that because of the cruel death that Jesus the Christ suffered. And because he proved victory over death, I too will rise victorious into eternal life when Jesus comes to claim his purchased possession. I am his. I belong to him. You belong to him. You are his. He purchased us with his blood. We are sinners, but we are saved by grace. And everyone who believes in what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago can claim the same victory as I do, eternal life because of Calvary. It was a cruel, dark, and sorrowful day, the day my Jesus died. But it was a good Friday, because it was not the end of Jesus' life. It was the beginning of the miracle of the resurrected Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus died once for all. He finished his work. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. One day, one precious sweet day, one glorious day when we don't expect, like a thief that he comes in the night, he will return to redeem his believers. Are you a believer? He could come anytime. The Bible is clear, my friends. The Bible is so clear. You and I need a Savior, not just to get into heaven, but also to live every day. Have a happy Good Friday, or so we call it. It is a joyful day, even if it is the most solemn day in the church calendar. And today we celebrate the cross of Jesus Christ. Last time we looked at the historical and physical horrors of crucifixion. But people today, if people are unwilling to have their way of thinking about the world changed, then either we will twist the Bible to fit our preconceptions, or we will reject the Bible, because the Bible is resolute in insisting that Christ died in the place of sinners so that the justice of God is satisfied and sinners escape punishment. In Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. He was pierced. We transgressed. He was crushed. 1 Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Christ died in the place of sinners so that God's justice is satisfied and sinners escape punishment. In Colossians 2, God canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Dear friends, as we are about to celebrate and go through beautiful Good Friday, it is Paul's story. It is the ultimate tale of conversion. Paul, of course, he was a persecutor of the early Christians. And then he became a zealous voice for Jesus. And what does Paul say? Paul says, I count everything as loss. I count everything like nothing. I could care less what I have. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. No matter what I have, it means nothing compared to the gift of God's love. Jesus bent down, paid for our sins, for all of us. He resumes his glory once again. Jesus doesn't condone us. Jesus didn't come to judge. Jesus came to save. And Jesus will save you. It is never too late. Paul even said, I will boast only about one thing, that with the cross. You know, he could have talked about his power, and he could have, maybe Jesus could have even boasted about miracles and resurrection and his coming. But he humbled himself. The suffering of Jesus is the human iniquity of all our sins piled on the cross. Every time you take communion and you drink the wine, you are remembering his death of his own free will. He is the Lamb connected with sin. Jesus died. Our sins were nailed there with him. And therefore, thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Sin separated God from man. And pride can keep you from the cross. You must be willing to empty yourself. We put Jesus there. We all did this. We all have our hands with blood from our own sins. We must deny ourselves. Every time you get angry, every time you think of your ways, all about your life, all about you, all about my, your job, your this, you, I. You have to separate that and say, Jesus is first. You know, Pilate was a coward and he was afraid. You know, we don't have to be afraid. Give your life to Jesus. You think maybe Jesus may not forgive you for all that you've done. He's already paid for everything. He's already paid. He's paid for your sin and mine. Don't be lukewarm. Be a servant of God who is on fire. On fire. Be proud. Be happy that Jesus is alive. He's a risen God. But we crucified him with our sins. The cross is God's love outpoured. God gave his Son, his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Remember that verse, John 3:14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to God but only through me. Therefore, the gift of God is of mercy, is of salvation, and it's of freedom. There's only one way to heaven, my friends. And this Good Friday, let us be thankful and humbled in spirit and know that this is truly a day that we must all rejoice in the resurrection of our Jesus. There is a beautiful little poem, and I just wanted to read it to you quickly, if I can find it, which I had it here for you. It's by St. Teresa of Calcutta, and it's called I Thirst for You. I thirst for you, yes, that is the only way to even to begin to describe my love for you. I thirst for you. I thirst to love you and to be loved by you. That is how precious you are to me. I thirst for you. Come to me, and I will fill your heart and heal your wounds. I will make you a new creation and give you peace even in all your trials. I thirst for you. You must never doubt my mercy, my acceptance of you, my desire to forgive, my longing to bless you and live my life in you. I thirst for you. If you feel unimportant in the eyes of the world, that matters not at all. For me, there is no one any more important in the entire world than you. I thirst for you. Open to me. Come to me. Thirst for me. Give me your life, and I will prove to you how important you are to my heart. If you have any personal needs that you have thought about this week, bring them, dear listeners, bring them to the foot of the cross, for Jesus loves us more than we'll ever know. In every need, let me come to you with humble trust, saying, Jesus, help me. In all my doubts, perplexities, and temptations, Jesus, help me. In hours of loneliness, weariness, and trials, everyone, Jesus, help me. In the failure of my plans and hopes, in disappointments, troubles, and sorrows, Jesus, help me. When others fail me, and your grace alone can assist me, Jesus, help me. When I throw myself on your tender love as a Father and Savior, Jesus, help me. When my heart is cast down by failure, at seeing no good come from my efforts, Jesus, help me. When I feel impatient and my cross irritates me, Jesus, help me. When I am ill and my head and hands cannot work, and I am lonely, Jesus, help me. Always, always, in spite of weakness, falls, and shortcomings of every kind, Jesus, help me and never forsake me. To all our listeners here at Radio Maria, and on behalf of myself, Christina Doyle, and our engineer, Alex Diaz, and Father Charles, and all of our wonderful volunteers and staff and all the amazing programs, a happy and blessed Easter to one and all. May the conversion in your heart set in motion a new season of hope, of peace, of strength, of courage, of boldness, and of joy walking alongside Jesus. God bless you all. Happy Good Friday.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just sing.